Welcome back to the Ransomed Heart Podcast. John Eldridge here in the studio this week, here in February. This is actually part two of a conversation that I began last time. Some thoughts about where do we draw our source of life from? Where does the power come from, you know, to do all this stuff that we know we're supposed to do, like be kind to obnoxious people and find our calling with more clarity and live it out with more joy and repair damaged relationships and get over some of these long-term besetting struggles that we have. Like, where's the power for that come from? Is it discipline? Is it doctrine? Is it, I just need more counseling? I just need integration? And the case that I began last week that I want to continue now is that essentially whatever we do helps us to a union of being with God. That union is the goal. Oneness is the goal. Not just, I love you, not just, I believe you, but I'm actually coming into a union of existence with you. In John 17, Jesus prays it four different times that we would be one with him, literally united with him, like he is with the Father. So it's not just a theoretical oneness. It's not just a doctrinal, oh yeah, you know, we're united with Christ. Like, we are vine and branch. We are literally drawing our existence more deeply, more intentionally, more purposefully, more consistently from the life of Jesus in us. So that's where we started last week, and we were talking about the different things that assault us, and we want to pick up the conversation now. The daily prayer that we offer here at Ransomed Heart, you can find it on our app. You can find it on our website. It's one of the first things we hand out to every participant who comes to one of our conferences. The daily prayer is built around this exact assumption that what we need more than anything else is union. Father, may they be completely one with us. Not distantly related, not friends from afar, not ships passing in the night. May they be completely one. Because what the prayer is basically centered around is it begins with consecration. It begins with the intentional presentation of our life to God on a regular basis. And so the daily prayer is one expression of that, that, you know, right there in the morning, first thing, you know, I give you my body, soul, and spirit. I give you my heart. I give you my mind and all the faculties of my being. And the prayer is powerful because of the intentionality of the consecration, the bringing of all of our existence back into alignment with the existence of God. And so however you do this, and I think you would find the daily prayer to be extraordinarily helpful, it begins with intentional consecration as a regular practice. And it's not just kind of this quick, okay, God, I give you my life. It's a very intentional, present thing. An old saint who taught me to pray years and years and years ago when I was 19 gave me a very simple piece of advice. And he says, as soon as you find your concentration wandering, stop and go back and pick up where you last remember being present to God. Which is a great thing, because what you're cultivating is presence. You're cultivating the intentionality of being present to God. And so, you know, how do we cultivate union? Well, the first thing is we present our lives for it. Like, you know, John 15, Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. You know, so God, I choose to be present to you. I choose to consecrate my life to you. And by consecration, we mean I am intentionally and deliberately, with the, you know, full agreement, giving you my capacities. I give you my body. I give you my emotions. I give you my heart. I give you my thoughts. I give you my gifts. All that I am, all that is within me, I represent to you. And as you cultivate that on a regular basis, that sets you up, that positions you to be in deeper union with Christ and asking for it. just the simple step of asking for it. I ask for it as soon as I wake up in the morning. Oh, Jesus. Like, as soon as I wake up, pray for union, I pray for oneness. I ask for it in times of pressure. I ask for it in moments of quiet, consecrating and asking for it. I pray for union. I pray for oneness. And I would add to this, particularly those areas that don't feel united to God. So what is it? Is it your emotions that just feel like they are a kite without a string? They're just at the total subject of the winds of the world and the enemy. Like, God, I consecrate my emotions to you deliberately, intentionally, as a regular practice. Or is it your thoughts? Do you just find your thoughts completely wandering? Or is it your sleep? Or is it your sexuality? You feel like you've got your anger under control, feel like that's being, you know, sanctified by the presence of Christ, but man, your sexuality just feels completely untethered. Well, then there's a regular, repeated consecration and presentation of your sexuality to God to be one with Him. I would say there are several steps around this that I'm describing that can be done very simply. Consecration, asking, praying for union, letting everything else go, like the deliberate action to the best of your ability, the deliberate choice in prayer to say, God, I just give it all. I give it all to you. And you usually have to get specific with, my job has just absolutely got me completely tied up right now. So I give my job to you. I give my work to you. I give my finances to you. I give this relationship with, you know, so-and-so to you. Whatever it is that feels like it's assaulting your soul, but the surrender. Paul says, he's describing kind of the secret of his life in God, and he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now, all things in Paul's life had not literally been taken away from him. He still had possessions and he still had friends and he still had clothing and food and stuff. But what he was saying is there's this deliberate choice. Oh, I just surrendered all of that. And then there is, like, for the world, you want to detach from the world so that you can cultivate union with God. Practice stillness every day. Maybe it's in your car when you get home before you go in the house. Maybe it's in your car in the morning before you go into work. Maybe it's late at night when everything else has been taken care of. That's okay. Whenever you can actually really fit this in, stillness is a detox from the pace of the world. It will be a stunning experience of a kind of decontamination of the pace if you practice stillness. And by stillness, I don't mean you're praying. I don't mean you're watching something or listening to music. I mean, you literally are just still. Just try for 60 seconds. You'll see it's this medicine against the assault on our union with God that's coming from the world. And on the flesh, just pick one thing. Just pick one thing at a time where you are giving up one of your little comforts, where you are choosing against the grain, whatever is against the grain, voicing your opinion, right? Or, you know, making sure you never miss your show. Oh, you never miss the show. Or you never miss, you know, the Broncos game or whatever. Well, you choose otherwise. You begin to choose against the flesh. Because the more and more that you, quote, crucify the flesh, the more your capacity, your existence, your being is available for union with God and the enemy. I'd come back to the daily prayer on the enemy. Part of the reason the daily prayer is so effective is it really cuts out the fog of war. You want to shut down just that daily noise of assault, bombardment, numbness, all of that stuff. And so as you learn to, on a regular basis, do what you are commanded to do in Scripture, which is resist the devil and he will flee, bringing the work of Christ against your enemy on a regular basis commanding him to leave your presence, commanding him to leave your house, apartment, bedroom, workplace, banishing the enemy. Oh my goodness, the relief of it. You're like, oh God, there you are. Wow, you were here the whole time. And I didn't know it because I was so under the fog of war and so under the, you know, all the junk of the enemy. If you'll make an intentional practice of resisting and kicking him out, commanding him to leave, oh my goodness, that will do you enormous good. But friends, I think what I'm talking about is a different way of looking at how you are approaching your days. Because you just have to ask yourself, if the goal is complete union with God, like perfect union, wow, that kind of changes my approach to things. I wasn't even thinking in that category. Well, there you go. Exactly. We weren't even thinking in this category. Again, Oswald Chambers, God wants to bring you into union with himself. But unless you are willing to give up your right to yourself, he cannot, right? Like until this is a priority of ours, until this is like, oh, I now get it. It isn't just about scripture memory. It isn't just about church attendance. Whatever I do, including those good spiritual things, I'm doing it for union with God. Now I get it. Now I get the point of this. And it's not just, you know, saying no to the donut or, you know, choosing not to masturbate or, you know, whatever the discipline of sin, you know, you're crucifying your flesh. It's not just about those things. I do those things. I stop those things. I reject those things because I'm cultivating union with God. Because I'm consecrating my sexuality, or because I'm consecrating my appetite, or because I'm consecrating my emotions for a greater and greater intimacy with God. Now I get it. So, you know, kind of at 30,000 feet above the particulars, what I'm suggesting is that the category of perfectly one, completely one, totally united, branch and vine, is your operating goal. That's my goal. And therefore, the things I do and don't do, the things I take up and the things I set down, the pace by which I live, all of that is designed to achieve that goal. Like that will be very, very orienting for you to just kind of lift up that goal and put it against the various activities of your life and say, is this getting me to that goal? How do I cooperate with that? And what is harming that? How do I cooperate with union, with perfect union? And what's harming currently in my life? What's harming that? There's a quote by George MacDonald that I found so utterly attractive and so completely infuriating at the very same time. It's been with me for years now. He says, but there is a reality of being in which all things are easy and plain. Oneness, that is, with the Lord of life. Let me read it again. But there is a reality of being, not just of practice, not just of thought, not just of your belief system. There is a reality of existence, of your being, in which all things become easy and plain. That's the infuriating part. Oneness, that is, with the Lord of life. I say infuriating because it just sounds preposterous. It's almost taunting in its promise. But Jesus seemed to think that was true. Paul seemed to think that was true. You read the saints down through the ages, and they're like, yep, this is it. This is what changes everything else. Oneness with the Lord of life. I just wanted to throw this like a rescue line. I just wanted to toss this to you like a life preserver to a group of people in a storm. It's helping me, and I hope it'll help you. You've been listening to the Ransom Heart Podcast with John Eldridge.